You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, also streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Got a good list of guests today. Going to be hitting recruiting pretty hard as we go along here in the show. Ian Rhodes from WSMV-TV in Nashville will talk to us a little bit about SEC recruiting. Also have Josh Helmholtz from the Wolverine on at 10 o'clock talking about Michigan recruiting. And Rico Beard from Fox 2 in Detroit talking about the state of Michigan and how recruits did. And then also Michigan State recruiting. That'll be at 10:30. Also, don't forget, 8:50, Jeremy Sampson will be here, our weekly segment talking high school basketball. So if you want to hear what's going on in high school basketball, you're about 15 minutes away from that. But let's stick to college basketball here. And let's talk about MSU for a minute. Now, look, last week, we basically put it out there, and I thought they were going to finish 17-13 and not finish the tournament and not make the tournament. I just didn't see it happening. But I didn't see them losing to Iowa. I don't think anybody saw them losing to Iowa. And not only did nobody see them losing to Iowa, how do you lose by that many points to Iowa? How do you put in that little effort to Iowa? Last week we talked about Scott. We talked about them looking defeated. We talked about them looking like they had run out of ideas. Well, against Iowa, I gotta say, dude, they looked like they just didn't care. And most of all, I thought the seniors looked like they didn't care. I looked at Darrell Summers, I looked at Kalen Lucas, and I looked at a couple of guys who had just mailed it in and decided they didn't care. Darrell Summers didn't shoot a two-point shot in the game. He shot 7 threes, no 2-point shots. How do you win? How do you even claim you're trying hard when you do that?
It's just so hard to sit here week after week, and we've seen the same thing. I mean, it feels like we're just continually going back to the same thing because nothing's really changed with that team. They went back to even what they were doing. Like, you're saying that they're settling for shots.
Yep.
You said last week that there's no leadership. Somebody needs to step up and do more, be more vocal. Because
and not
Draymond
only did
Green,
nobody step up, they've taken another step back. It looks like they're not even playing for Tom Izzo out there. It looks like he is completely transparent out there, and nobody is even paying attention to what he's saying.
Well, and what's worse is when you see him sitting down, mm-hmm. just with that look on his face of, I don't know what to do.
He said it. He said it was the worst performance in his coaching career, as far as games go and efforts go. And, I mean, let's not hang everybody out to dry. I thought Derek Nix had a good game. I thought Keith Appling played hard. I thought there were guys on this team. And, hey, I rip Austin Thornton because he's pretty awful. But he tried hard, you know? And what's sad is we're at that point with Michigan State where we're trying to say, hey, good job. You tried hard. Nicely done.
Wow, that is really sad because remember how you described Michigan?
Yeah.
2-3 weeks ago?
I still feel that way about Michigan. I don't think they're that good of a team. I like watching them because they try hard. I can't even get behind watching Michigan State because they have so clearly mailed it in that it's not even fun to watch a team like that. I'd rather watch Central Michigan every day of the week, not be able to break a full court press and turn the ball over 20 times and a half, which they have done plenty of times since I've started watching them. I would rather watch that than watch Michigan State play for the rest of this year. Now, I will watch them because it's our job to watch them. But if I was somebody who was just a casual fan of the Big Ten, I wouldn't want to watch Michigan State for the rest of the year.
Well, especially when you look at their schedule. I mean, look at this. Next game tomorrow at Wisconsin. And then, okay, well, let's even go before that.
Eight games left. Five are against ranked opponents. They've got 9 losses right now. Frankly, I'm just going to, they're not beating those ranked opponents.
Well, no, and we said a couple weeks ago that this 3-game stretch, Michigan, Indiana, Iowa.
Must win.
That's your turnaround. That's where you say, okay, let's right the ship.
Not even just turnarounds. If you are seriously going to play that poorly for the rest of the year, those are must-win games if you want to stay in the tournament committee's eyes as far as a team that's willing, that's qualified to get in.
Well, and that's how I prefaced everything, is saying with the tough games they have coming up at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, Illinois, at home, then at Minnesota and Purdue. Then you figure, I always said, that's, they have to win at least three of those. This was before. They have to win three of those and not lose a single other game. You can't afford to lose to Michigan, to go to overtime with Indiana, and to get hammered by the
Iowa.
Worst team in the league, Iowa.
They now have to win three games to go above 500. And you look at the rest of this schedule, they've got one team on their schedule that they've beaten this year. And that's a much improved, despite not having Nolan anymore, it's a much improved Minnesota team.
And Wisconsin. They did beat Wisconsin.
That's right. They did beat Wisconsin in overtime. But that was a game.
And nobody goes to Cole and wins there.
But that was a game, and that's a very good point that you point that out, that honestly, like I said at the time, I thought that was a turnaround game because they had played so poorly throughout the whole game. They should have lost that game by 15 points. And then they came back and won, and I thought that was the turning point. That was it. So I don't see them going into Cole and winning that game. So you're talking about you've got to win three games just to go above 500 for the end of the year, okay? And you're talking five losses and then three teams that you could lose to. They could finish 15-15. That is awful for a team that was projected to possibly win the national title. Now, like we talked about, I don't necessarily think that the ratings at the beginning of this year and the expectations were fair when you look at what Michigan State was at the end of the year last year. But that's what they were. And if you're going to make a Final Four and bring almost everybody back, you should at least make the tournament.
Well, that's one thing. Let's actually look at this now, because we kind of got into it a little bit last week, and now let's seriously look at the team from last year and the expectations. You lose a starter in Chris Allen that most people aren't really figuring into the equation. Then Raymar Morgan, for as much as I dogged him for the last 2 years because he didn't show up, well, Darrell Summers looks an awful lot like Raymar Morgan, even worse.
He's way worse than Raymar Morgan.
Stepped it up later in the season last year.
And you know what? To be fair to Raymar Morgan, and I don't like to be fair to him because I think he dogged a lot of games, Raymar Morgan suffered a lot when he got mono, and he suffered a lot through injuries that he had throughout his career that slowed him down.
And this is when he turned it around, his senior season. He stepped up. He saw the writing on the wall. But so you lose Chris Allen, you lose Raymar Morgan. Now the team's without Corey Lucius. You have to also factor in that Kalen Lucas, I don't think he's still 100%, because when you tear your Achilles, that's a pretty serious injury.
Well, he may not be 100%, but at the same time, when you go for 25-26 in two straight games, that's enough that you should be playing well every single game, game in and a game out.
Well, and then you also have to look at Delvon Rowe. I've never known if he's ever been healthy.
I don't think he's going to ever reach that quote-unquote potential. I think he is what he's going to be, and whether that's fair or not, I like Delvon Rowe. I think he brings good things to the floor, but he's never going to be what Michigan State thought he would be.
But looking at it, really, and it's so tough to do this now to Michigan State, because I've dogged Michigan fans for a while of saying, oh, well, they're a year older, but the only guy who seems to really have progressed is Draymond Green. He dropped the weight. He got in shape. He came back ready to go.
But to a certain extent, because he progressed, because he improved his jump shot, it's almost hurt his game from time to time, because he thinks he can make those shots all the time.
For what
MSU
needs.
And he should be banged down. He should be banging down low. When Michigan State goes down low, they're great. The problem is they're settling for jump shots all the time, and you cannot do that in the Big Ten, and you cannot do that when you're shooting like 25% from the floor.
But that's the other thing, and then you look at that, so there's all the differences, and you bring in the freshman in, I mean, Adrian Payne. I heard Tom Izzo say that he'd be the freshman who's ready to go,
yep,
most ready to play freshman since Zach Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he got hurt, and he missed, I don't know how much time he missed over the summer.
But he looks lost on the court.
He looks absolutely lost. Keith Appling is a nice freshman to throw in. He's not going to be the superstar, which some people thought he would be.
Not to mention, and you alluded to it last week, and I was hoping it wouldn't be the case, but I think more and more we're heading to the idea that Keith Appling is going
to
become the point guard of this team.
Oh,
and I think that is a real bummer, because I think he could have been a Charlie Bell-type shooting guard. But now I think he's going to become a Charlie Bell-type point guard, where it's never really going to be his natural position. I think it's going to take him all 4 years to really learn the position and really excel at it. and a guy that really was the most promising part of this team going into next year, you now have to switch positions. I'm not blaming Tom Izzo. You don't have another choice at point guard. You have to switch his position.
See, I see it being a little bit different. The team won't be quite the same. It won't have the same MSU-style offense of running through all your sets, because if Keith Appling switches to point, I've seen him show flashes. He's the best at getting to the hole of anybody I've ever seen come through Michigan State. And that's not just me saying that.
No,
that's
and
people
I remember,
who've been around.
And you've said it for a while now, too. You made that claim a month ago that you felt that way about him.
And so what I see, if he's running the point, it'll be the offense first point guard. We had the exact opposite when Drew Neitzel started to run the point, where he was always passing.
Yep.
But I think he'll turn into almost a Kemba Walker type player, where he's looking to score first from that position. And heck, it might be out of necessity that he's looking to score from that position, because who knows who else is going to be on the court that can help
What's interesting about this Michigan State team is next year, I can't believe we're talking about next year, but at this point, I mean, what can you talk about? A Kansas State, Michigan State NIT final? Woo, that sounds fantastic. But for next year, I'm almost looking forward to the fact that Tom Izzo is going to have a team that has almost no talent on it, and they're going to have to win with sheer heart and a little bit of talent. I mean, let's face it, Payne's going to get better. Okay, Appling is good. Draymond is good. Okay, they've got talent, but it reminds me of that team the year that, and I can't remember the year, it was either 06 or so, 07, when Shannon Brown went pro. And you started looking, they had Drew Neitzel and a bunch of role players. And although that team was not talented, they worked hard every night. They overachieved that year. They ended up losing to Carolina in the second round of the tournament. But that was a fun team to watch. And I would prefer to watch that team, that type of team, a team that's going to finish 18-12, 19-11, but win the games they should win and be in every game, than a team like this that has talent but doesn't use it.
Well, that might be kind of getting back into the Michigan State stereotype, the Tom Izzo stereotype of we're going to bang.
And here's my question to you, okay? Let's bring Tom Izzo into it. How much this year can be credited to Tom Izzo as far as blame goes? Now, in my opinion, and I'll throw my opinion out there first, okay? My opinion, this is Tom Izzo's worst coaching year of his career. Now, let me put the disclaimer out there. I think Tom Izzo is one of the top three coaches in college basketball, okay? He is right there with Roy Williams and Coach K, in my opinion, as far as Bill Self is up there too at this point. But for the most part, Tom Izzo is up in the top three, okay? But this year, he has run out of ideas with this team. He's lost the motivation with this team, and he's lost this team. And so from that perspective, how much do you put this blame on Tom Izzo?
Oh, for that, you have to put a ton on him. I mean, nearly all of it, because it's so tough, because coaches, obviously, I can come out and say, well, it's not like he's out there shooting the free throws for them or setting picks, playing defense for the kids. But it's just what you said, the fact that they're not responding to him, and that is the coach's job. You have to figure out a way to get to them, and the teams looked like this all year, since the start.
Yeah.
I said as soon as the season started, it looked like they didn't play together over the summer at all. And it still looks like that.
To be honest, honestly, they've had two good games the entire year. At Duke was a great game. I thought they played well against Duke, and I thought they played well against Minnesota. That was it. It's the only two good games the entire year. Honestly, the win against Washington was kind of misleading because they played terrible against Washington for three-fourths of that game. Okay, they got smoked by UConn as far as getting outplayed. They may have only lost by three or four, but they got smoked by UConn. They got smoked by Syracuse. They have only had two good games the entire year. And so from that perspective, I think here's the thing with Tom Izzo, okay? In past years, at this point in the season, he had that look in the huddles during timeouts where he was yelling at guys. He had energy. Honestly, at times, I thought he was going to stab somebody in the huddle. I really did, because he had that passion, he had that fire, and he had that look like a crazy man. This year, I don't see it. I don't see it, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think Michigan State fans should be prepared for the fact that this team's probably going to finish 16-14, maybe even 15-15. You may not even go to the NIT and what a disappointment that would be. Coming up next, Jeremy Sampson, WILX-TV, will be with us to talk high school basketball. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.